Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Success Beyond podcast. I'm Jen, your host, and today I have Amy Posner on the podcast. Now, we're supposed to talk about how to go from order taker to expert in your business, and we did a little bit. But what we ended up diving into was a really vulnerable, open conversation about stepping into the spaces that we're meant to be in and owning our values in the businesses that we run. And it was one of the most incredible conversations I have had with someone who, prior to getting on the podcast, I had never met before. And I appreciate Amy's vulnerability and us both ending up being a safe space for each other in such an incredible episode. So without further ado, I hope you all enjoy this episode as much as I did. Welcome to the Success Beyond podcast. In this podcast, we embark on a journey of discovery and growth through candid and dynamic conversations with seasoned professionals in the creative industry. Our mission's clear: to provide you with the knowledge, tools, and inspiration you need to thrive in your creative endeavors. Whether you're an artist, designer, writer, or some other type of entrepreneur, Success Beyond is here to educate, empower, and inspire you every step of the way. Join us as we unlock your full potential and elevate your creative journey with insights and strategies shared in each episode. Welcome to a world where success knows no bounds. Welcome to Success Beyond. Welcome back to another episode of the Success Beyond podcast. I'm super stoked to introduce you all to Amy Posner. Amy, thanks so much for coming on and chatting with us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to just get an opportunity to chat with you and get to know you a bit more. So tell our audience a little bit about you, what you do, who you are, all of those fun things.
Well, essentially, I help creative freelancers who are good at their craft become great at running a business. Because what I have found that people who are really good at their craft but don't have business skills just don't eat as well as people who have the biz skills. It's a differentiator that moves people, you know, from feast and famine to sustainability. And that's what I'm about. I hate seeing people just, you know, go up and down month to month and just don't, yeah, they don't have the security to do their best work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that I've seen a lot in the industry, especially like what you were saying with creatives, because a lot of the times it's almost like they started their business on accident. You know, like, it's something that they were really, the art of it, whatever that art was their passion. And then it turned into this business. And now they're like, well, now what do I do? Orders and emails and calendar and all the things.
Yeah. I mean, people tend to get into business because they love something. It's like, right. You know, I'm a photographer. I could like do this as my living and do this all the time. And then, you know, then when the rubber hits the road, you realize like, there's all these things that you need to do to make it happen as a business. It's one thing,
right.
You know, it's one thing to perfect your craft, but it's another thing, like you said, like, orders, invoices, emails, client calls, you know, it's an art in itself. And a lot of people, I think, resist it because, you know, there's sort of a negative stigma, like particularly around sales,
mm-hmm.
like, I have to push and convince. And it's just, and I get that, like, who wants to do that? But that's not
right.
What it's about. And so we need to let people know that.
Yeah, I completely agree. So today you're going to talk about taking back the power in your business to go from order taker to expert. I absolutely love this topic because whenever you go from one in the sea to being like the person people go to, it's a huge shift in your business. So tell us, what are the steps to get you from order taker to expert?
So first of all, let's just define if we can, like what is
absolutely
order, right? So for me, and make sure we're on the same page. So for me, an order taker is somebody calls, you know, I offer a service, somebody calls and they say, I need an X. And you say, great, an X will cost you Y. And we agree. And boom, we go ahead and do the project. And that's an order taker, right? Someone's just placed an order and you're going to fill it. The expert, on the other hand, when they have that same call and the client comes and says, I need an X, the expert says, okay, cool. Why? What are you trying to achieve? What, you know, what's the end goal, and how can we, and how can I help you to achieve that? And so that's the first thing. Like, the order taker just says yes and creates the asset, and that's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that per se. But what you want to graduate to is being seen more as the expert. And I see the expert as the problem solver.
Mm-hmm.
And so you ask, like, how do you go from order taker to expert? So I think there's a lot of pieces in there. There's a lot of pieces, but I would say, like, the big hinge piece is seeing the potential client as a partner, as opposed to either an adversary or a boss. So, and that's a mindset piece to some extent. And that comes with experience, but I think it also comes with understanding what it is the clients want and what it is that better clients want.
Right.
And clients don't always know what they want, right? And that's the tricky part, you know, like, people show up with an idea, but it doesn't always mean that idea is going to work. Or sometimes, like, clients will see ideas in the wild and they'll be like, ooh, you know, that's working great for Jen Bays over there. Maybe I should do that. But we don't know what you did to get there.
Right.
What was involved, or what your, like, special sauce is. Like, I don't know what you have that I don't. So I don't know that I can imitate you. And so I think what needs to happen is you need to develop your own sort of set of skills and expertise and understand, like, your relationship to your particular audience, which is something, you know, you sort out as you, mm-hmm. you know, as you're building. You don't necessarily know this day one. So if anyone's listening and feels bad because they haven't sorted this, it takes time. It does.
Yeah, absolutely. It does take time. And I love the idea of having a partnership with your client. That's how I've always felt when working with the clients that were the ideal fit. It felt like a partnership. It felt like, okay, we are on the same page. We're going after the same goals in your business. Like, let's make the plan to get there. So I really love the partnership perspective versus, you know, someone's coming to you and you're looking at them as, like, you know, a type of boss in your life. And that's not the case.
Right. A type of boss, or, like, somebody that you're going to, like, work with on this very limited interim basis to do a thing.
Right.
Like, instead of, like, what you're talking about, to me, it's almost like you're more like an adjunct to their business. It's like you're sort of outsourced plug-in player, you know, where you, like, when you get in there, you get in there. It's like, like, you want this goal. I'm going to help you to achieve this goal. And here's how we're going to do it. And we're going to do it together. And we're going to make a plan together. And when you think about it from the client's point of view, you know, as the provider, when you think about the client, it's like, of course people want that. Of course people want to take care of and want the service and want the input of the expert.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do. They want to know that their business is in good hands.
Yeah. And you know, I used to tell clients when I ran my copywriting business, I'd say, look, you know, when you hire me, you're buying my brain. Because I'm not just like, I put you on my calendar and I'm going to work on your project from 12 to 1. It's like, I'm thinking about you while I'm cooking dinner. I'm thinking about you while I'm walking my dog. I'm, you know, like, I'm in there. I'm like, I, you know, you're renting space in my brain. And
yeah,
I'm promising you an outcome from that.
Yeah. I remember I was talking to a new consulting client and we hadn't even gotten started yet, but I was all on fire after her consult call and on our first coaching call. I was like, so I woke up in the middle of the night and had to tell Siri to set a reminder to send you something today. You know, and it's that kind of stuff. When you're dealing with the right person in your business, you are really renting space in their brain so that you can get to that next level for whatever you're hiring them for.
Yeah. And I think for us as providers, we really need to acknowledge our expertise and step into it and own it. I think a lot of times there's this feeling of like, you don't know when you're ready. When am I ready enough? And, you know, like, I feel like we just need to confer readiness on people. Like, you're ready. If you're good enough, or you feel confident enough in your craft skill to, like, hang out your shingle and say, hey, I'm doing this. That's huge, right? That's really bold. It's really big. And so lean into that, go all the way into that and be the expert, like, really own your skills. And that's hard. Cause I think it's so funny. I bet you see it too. Like, I see people who are so good at their craft. And they just don't see their expertise. They diminish themselves, and they don't, like, they know they're good, but they're not screamingly good and telling their clients how good they are. And that's, like, it's something that you need to be able to do.
That's actually a big area. So I have the agency and I feel very confident in, you know, who we are and what we offer and what my role is in the company. And then I launched a consulting brand about 18 months ago now. And I'm still so hesitant to really firmly like take up space in the different aspects of the framework, you know, of my consulting offer. And I sent out my first like kind of scary podcast episode on my other podcast. I think it goes out tomorrow or this week or something. And I sent a message to my podcast manager. I was like, this is terrifying, but here we go. It's scary.
And what is it? I mean, is it like being exposed or is it like?
Oh, I think for me, I'm drawing so much on, so I talk about systems, boundaries, and support. But when I'm talking about those three key elements, I call it like the balance trifecta. I'm looking at it for business and life. So I don't talk to my clients just about their business. I also talk to them about what's your partner doing in your home? Are your kids helping it with the chores? Are, you know, who is on your team? Do you have a lawn care person? Do you have a cleaning person? Do you have a meal service? Do you, it encompasses all of that. And when you start digging into like the home life, it's vulnerable and it can be sticky. And speaking to that from, you know, my personal experience through therapy and my marriage and, you know, and that kind of thing, coming at it from a place of like, okay, I'm telling you these things because I have been here and I'm on the other side of this currently. So like, I want to help you get here and see balance in your, you know, relationship and your business. Because if you only have balance one place, you're still, what's the word?
You're still really off balance.
I mean, off balance.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're doing that though, because they're just not separate. They're just not separate, especially the way we work now. I mean, right?
Yes.
We're working at home and like our families are around us and our lives are around us and all of the things. And I think it's really, especially for women, I think it's so, I don't know, we try and compartmentalize and it's it only works for so long because that's just not the way life works, right?
Yeah. And that's exactly what has felt so like scary for me to step into is owning that, okay, home management is a thing. And it's something that doesn't need to be 100% on the primary caregiver, the primary partner, or, you know, whatever. Like there is a way to balance it between whoever is in the household or whatever community you have. Because even if you're a single parent, there's still a way to find balance, maybe not 100% of the time, but figuring out what that looks like. So, well, you're already coaching me. So this is, we're off to a good start.
And I was just going to say, I love that. Like, I love the creative thinking in there though, because you like, I feel like you're giving people permission. It's like, you can have your life. You can integrate your life. I feel like we think we have to close the door and I'll get to my personal life on the other side, you know?
Right.
And it's like, it's not healthy. It's just not balanced. It's not the way. Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Well, and I feel like as women, you know, and moms and especially, like we almost have to, or we are shown through media that we have to sacrifice our hobbies, our interests, our businesses, our careers at the altar of a marriage or children or, you know, whatever. And I call BS, you know, that's not where we need to be. It's 2024. No, like you can have both.
Yeah, you can. And you know what's interesting? You have to be real deliberate about it, right? Because we're all sort of time crunched and all that. But what's interesting to me is like you don't need that much of the other things, but you do need them, right? Like it's like whether it's your hobby or exercising or like whatever you do for your mental health and your sort of like keep yourself sane, you can't. I mean, and it's so cliche, right? It's like the, you know what, like you have to put on the other mask, you know, put on the child's mask first. You can't help anyone but it's true. If you're not in good shape, you just can't serve your clients. You can't be good in your family. You can't be good to yourself. This is like, it may sound light and airy, but it is not.
It's not.
It's really not. It's your life at stake. Yes. I believe.
Yeah. I completely agree. Completely agree. Okay, so we went off on our own little thing over here and I loved it. But it definitely goes back to, you know, I have the conversations with the client and we end up saying, okay, you need X in the business. And instead of them coming to me like, hey, I need systems, or I'll actually a lot of the times say, I need marketing help. And then we start to chat And they actually need systems first, because there's no point in me doing marketing and bringing you more clients if you're not going to be able to serve them well. You know,
that's
so I really,
equation. Yeah.
You know, when you are working with your clients, what are some of those like mindset shifts they really have to have, or like the aha moments that take them from like, oh crap, I have been an order taker, and now I can step into being an expert in XYZ.
So I think for some people, it's just like the mere identification. Like they go, oh, that's what's happening. And they didn't know there was another path, right?
Right.
How would they know? I think the most, this is a funny thing because it's real simple, but the most empowering thing is teaching people to ask questions. So here's the thing, like, and you know this, like you're on a discovery call, sales call, whatever you call it. And you're having this conversation with the client. And there's a moment at which it's like determined who's running the show. And
right.
There's a moment at which the client starts talking about something and you're listening and you're like, what exactly do they mean? Or what's going on here? Or they say something and you think you should know it. They start talking about their XYZ and they're using some acronym and you're like, you know, you're like Googling, what's the XY, whatever it is.
Right.
And the truth is, it's some internal proprietary thing, and they don't expect that you know about it, but they just talk that way because that's how they talk. And so the first thing is, when you're newer in business, you think asking questions makes you look like you don't know things. What you realize later is asking questions, like even the most detailed, simple questions, makes you look like an expert, because you are an expert, because now what you're doing is you're digging into the problem. So, right, you're like, when someone comes to you and says, I want marketing, it's like, okay, but let's like, what have you got? And what are you doing currently? And what's worked for you in the past? And like, why this call right now? Like what's happening in your business that marketing is up for you and is on that, you know, and they start telling you everything. Well, this is what's happened over the past year. And this is how things have changed. And this is, and now you see the big scope of what's actually going on. And then you can see, well, first of all, can you help? Right? Is this the kind of problem that you can solve? B, is it the kind of problem you want to solve? Because right, not everything is, right? Some things are just like, I don't want to touch that. For you know, any number of reasons. But that's the thing. And I think that's the first little lever you can lean on, is just to practice asking questions. Like, tell me more about that, or say more about that, or what do you mean exactly? Or why? Why? Like, my favorite question to ask clients would be like, this may sound silly, but why are we on the call? Like, what's the genesis of your need at this moment? Like, what's been going on? And you know, it's fascinating to me, and I bet you've experienced this, is sometimes people will just, they'll unload. They will tell you everything from like why they started their business to, you know, how their marriage got in the way of it being, I mean, like everything. You'll hear things you'll never hear again. If you could work with them for 10 years and they will never tell you these intimate details.
Right.
So anyway, I'm a little off track, but that it's that discovery call, I think, is that big first opportunity for people to step into the expert role. And it's real simple. It's just by learning to ask clarifying questions.
Yeah, I love that. I call it verbal vomit. I should probably come up with a better, like a nicer way of saying it. But that's what I call
it.
I'll tell them. I'm like, all right, you know, give it to me. And then like you were saying, I experience it all the time. They just go on this tangent, isn't the right word, but this explanation or long explanation of like what's going on, what's working, what's not. And then they always stop and they take a breath and they're like, I'm really sorry, I didn't realize like there's all of this stuff. I'm like, no, it's totally fine. Like, you can't give me too much information. I would rather know the nitty gritty details of, you know, why Johnny was late to school for the 10th day this month.
Yeah.
And then, you know, be wondering why you're frazzled every single call we meet.
Yeah. And also, like, that conversation is what opens you up to a relationship, right? You're no longer, right? Like, I can hire someone, I don't know, to like replace my gutters. I don't need to have a relationship with them. I just need to know like they'll do it reliably and the price is the price, right?
Right.
But like, you're talking about getting into the internal workings of my business and like my goals and my desires. It's like, I want more than somebody who can get it done and at a price. I want somebody who's really going to like think about it and dig in and, you know, and also show me that they care.
Yeah.
Right. I need to really feel like I don't need them to be, I don't need their undying devotion, but I do need to feel like if you're going to work on my project, it matters to you. Like, my success is your success, which it should be.
But, yeah.
You know, if you're blasé about that, it's like, no, I'm not going to get real excited. Actually, if I can just say one more thing.
Of course.
you know, when I go to hire someone, that's a real differentiator for me. It's like, how much do I really feel like you're leaning in and like, you want to get in there and solve my problem?
Right.
This is like, you know, like I'll talk to somebody sometimes, they're, oh, this is what I live for. Oh, I want to fix your social media. And I'm like, I love you, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate the same thing. I'll never forget a sales call that I got on with a business coach. This was years ago. And, you know, her pitch was great, but she didn't ask me a lot of questions about what was going on in my business. She told me everything that she could do and it sounded awesome, but there was no rapport that was built on like, okay, here's my problem. And then she gave me even the start of a solution. And then she does, you know, it's going to be, I think it was like $10,000 a month. It was something insane. Or maybe it was 10,000. Anyway, I know it was $10,000 for something. It was bananas, especially as somebody who was in business for like less than 6 months. And I was like, well, I'm going to need a minute to like think about it. And she's like, well, do you have a family member that you can borrow it from or like a credit card? She's like, you will make this back. And I'm like, ick.
Ick, red flag.
No. So I really love the idea of building that rapport, building the relationship and showing that not only are you interested in selling them the offer, but this is why, like, I have these solutions and here's how we can tailor them to you specifically on that first call.
Yeah. And you know, you just pop something into mind for me too. Like while you're having that, actually, it's not even that. It's back to your question of like, what can people do or how do they move from that? And so I know why I just made that connection. But the other thing is to consider that there's two people making a decision here for fit, right? Like, I think that like so often the contractor shows up like kind of hat in hand, you know, like,
right.
I hope you'll hire me. You know, I can do this and do that rather than like, you know, looking you in the eye and saying, look, how can I solve your problem? It's like, you're kind of, you're hoping that they choose you. And really, like, you should be going in thinking, is this a fit for me?
Yeah.
Is this somebody, you know, is this somebody I want to work with? Is this somebody who I want to be attached to for a couple of few months or a couple of few weeks or whatever the project is going to take? Do I really care about helping them achieve their goal? And I think also like you need to believe even a little bit in what they do. Like it needs to be something, right? Like it needs to be something you can genuinely care about because otherwise you're doing them a disservice.
Well, and you're not going to be, especially if you're, and I know you come from a background of working with copywriters, so you'll completely understand this on like the social media. If we work with someone that isn't in alignment with, you know, who we are, our values, that sort of thing, like it's going to be really hard to work, to write convincing social media copy or emails or whatever, when we're like, cool.
Exactly. And there's like a thing when, and I guess, you know, this is true in all relationships. It's like when you feel understood or like someone gets you, it's like the best thing, right? I mean, we want that in partnerships. We want that in friendships. I mean, why not in client relationships where you feel like someone gets you and really has a genuine interest in helping you achieve whatever this thing is and expressing that and expressing, I mean, you don't have to be like over the top enthusiastic, but you do have to tell people, you know, this is what I want to do for you. And this is how I see it. And here's what's possible. And then they start to feel that partnership or that, you know, like you're wrapping around them. But back to this fit thing, you know, if you're the contractor and you're thinking like you know, like I don't feel comfortable with them or I don't understand them or I don't like what they're doing, right? You have a choice too.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's funny. I've had this experience. I don't know if you have, where you're talking to clients and like the longer the conversation goes, the less you understand. Like, I don't think this is a fit for me.
Yeah. Yeah, like, absolutely.
It's a while to identify that's actually a thing, but it would be like so confused. And I think in the early days, I thought maybe I'm just not as smart as I think I am, or maybe there's things I don't know or I don't get. And then I realized, no, this is like,
it's just not a good fit for whatever reason.
And it's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So obviously, like for people to come to our audience, you know, as like they're seeking an expert and they're coming to us, we have to build authority in our different spaces. What are some ways that you have found works really well in building that authority?
So I'm this fan of the anchor piece, and I like people to, and it could be anything. It could be a video, it could be an audio, it could be a PDF, but like tell me what you think. Tell me what you stand for. Tell me, you know, who you are. And I think once you do that, it's a hard barrier for people sometimes, because you have to really say what you believe and own that. But mm-hmm. once you do that, now everything that you do can be derivative from that, right? It gives you a framework or a place to sort of hang your opinion. And now you can talk about little pieces of that. And I think you do need to build authority by talking about it. And you don't need to be a writer. Again, you don't need to be eloquent. You don't need to be polished. You know, it can be a really simple video. It needs to be honest, and it needs to be true, and it needs to be heartfelt, and it needs to demonstrate your expertise. And I think you just at some point have to own that. You just do. It's like you got to put on your boots and just walk out there and say, this is what I think. And you got to own a position and take a stake. I mean, you just do. And that's, you know, the funny thing. It's like, you don't have to have original thought. It doesn't have to be some new brilliant thing. But if a client is looking at you, they need to know what you think. Mm-hmm. They don't care if it's the same thing that I think or you think or 10 other people think.
Right.
They just want to know what you think and that you have an opinion. And so don't worry about how it measures up to what anyone else thinks or does or says. You just keep it really simple, but have something that people can see who you are. I think that's really important for authority and what it does for your self-confidence to actually say, I can talk about this, but let me put it down. I have my coaching clients. Sometimes I have them write a manifesto and they're like, you know, what's a manifesto and how do I write one? So I've written up how you write a manifesto. I don't know. But
there you go. I love it.
Exactly. It's just that.
That's so interesting. So what would you say to a client that says, okay, Amy, I know exactly what my stand is and it's this, but I know that there's people in my audience who are going to, or maybe they're nervous that they're going to be judged for this stance, or it's opposite of what, you know, their close peers, you know, believe or, you know, speak on or that kind of thing. What would you say to a client if that was their concern?
That's a tricky one. I mean, what we know is off the word authenticity, it's really played out and all of that, but people respond. People respond when you tell the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, there have to be some guardrails inside that. Cause I mean, you can't go and spew insane viewpoints or something and expect that people won't react to that.
Right.
But having a different opinion or seeing things differently, I think, I mean, go for it, be bold. I mean, be kind, don't be a jerk.
Right.
be gracious about it, but by all means, have an opinion. And I think too, if you're worried about something like that, maybe just float it and little figure out a way to sort of put a toe in the water. I mean, from my point of view, I think it's really important to be who you are and to be able to say what you think. But I think in the business context, you have to do that inside of the sort of guardrails of your audience.
Right.
Right. Because I mean, if I've got an opinion that's going to be radically different from what the audience believes, I better be able to really back it up or have some sort of system or process or have some experience and some proof.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you risk losing your audience. I mean, I mean, there's a fine line between alienating somebody and alienating everybody.
Yeah. Well, I feel like having a polarizing opinion that you either put a new spin on or, you know, like you said, allows you to be bold is one thing. Having I hate the word radical, but a radical opinion is different, you know? And I feel like that's where you have to kind of find your place in. And I feel like this is just so apt for, cause this has been a whole thing. I feel like this was such universally aligned, this conversation, because it's just, I've had such a hard time stepping into this. So it's interesting to hear, sometimes you just have to go and do it.
So stepping into which, in your new iteration?
In the consultants, I just really so a little bit of background. This is turning into a Coach Jen session, you're coaching me.
Are you good with that?
Yeah, I'm great with that. Yeah, absolutely. I am always happy to learn from other people. Are you ready to run your business rather than your business running you?
then you need HoneyBook. Streamline your processes, get paid even if you're not at your desk, have your form sent out without having to click a button, and get the information you need to provide your clients with an exceptional experience. I've been using HoneyBook for over 6 years in various businesses and recently switched my business completely over to HoneyBook from another CRM. And I could not be happier with the switch, with the team, and the various tools that are now at my fingertips. If this is a system that you want to look at, then I would love to offer you 50% off of your first year if you head to the link in our show notes. Thank you so much. And I hope you love HoneyBook as much as I do. But like a little bit of background. So I grew up Southern Baptist and I couldn't be further from that ideology these days than like I could possibly get. But I still have so many people in, I wouldn't say in my life, but definitely on like my social media channels that would either be in alignment with that or are from that time in my life. So I've struggled with owning that, you know, I'm, at the end of the day, y'all, like, I'm a liberal. I have really strong opinions on things that I was taught were abolishments. And I feel like not quite the same, but stepping into the space of, I believe in Black Lives Matter, and I believe in gay rights, and I believe in trans rights, like those types of things. I'm wanting this on the agency side for us to be a safe space for those voices. And I've really struggled with how to articulate that and not come across as like, I don't know, inauthentic, I guess, you know?
And thank you for bringing up the real stuff. Thank you. And thank you too for being an advocate, you know, and being an ally. I mean, I think it's just really, really important. So I'm wondering though, like, do your personal lives. Does your personal life and business life intersect in the old community that you grew up in?
Not any further than like they would see posts. And I'm also getting to the point where like, I don't care, you know, like, and I say that with kindness.
Yeah.
I mean it from the place of like, I completely respect what you believe. I respect that that's what I grew up with, but that is no longer the higher power that I choose to follow. I believe in a universe and good energy, but like you cannot spread hate or even dislike and bring people to love Jesus. And that's something that I've really, really struggled with. And I haven't figured out a way to, because here's the thing. We work with LGBTQ. We work with people of color. I have them on my team. I've had them as clients. We've done all of these things, but I've never expressed it. You know, I've never come out and said anything along those lines because I don't need it to be my soapbox. I just want it to be like, of course we are, because it's who I am. But I don't like, no one knows who my clients are unless they say something. No one knows who my team is unless we're on a video. You know, so it's really hard to portray that without, I don't know, something.
Well, it's tricky. And it's trickier now in our political climate, right? Because things are so divisive. And it feels like those things carry more weight than they used to, right?
Yeah.
We used to be better at agreeing to disagree, kind of, and be respectful. And, you know, I struggle with that a lot because I mean, I fall into your camp very much. And I'm also very much aware that, you know, if I want people to, you know, let me live and let live, then I need to do that as well. And it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to live by. But I think, like, for what you're saying, I mean, my personal opinion is that it's really, your voice is really important.
Yeah.
And partly because of the background that you came from. And,
yeah,
you know, and for people to see that, like, that's, you know, you're just who you are, you know, regardless of your background, you know, you are who you are. But I also think, I don't know, I feel really strongly that, especially since you're an advocate for marginalized communities, it's really important for those of us in those communities to know that.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, it really matters. It matters, like, it matters where people feel safe. It matters where they spend their money. And I'm not suggesting you have to, like, wave a flag or be a political, like, entity as a business.
Right.
But, like, you know, values matter. And, you know, it's, I think it's really important for somebody who's not the thing to stand up and say,
yeah,
I support these people.
Well, and I think, but I don't want anyone to get the wrong opinion. I'm less worried about how my old community would feel about these stances and more worried that like I would come across as disingenuous, you know, I'm following the mainstream, or if I, so I've tried to do it in other ways. Like I've done, you know, those types of topics, or we had Theo Nash come on and talk about building wealth. He's amazing. Y'all should go check him out. And I spoke with Ez Powers a couple seasons ago about marketing, you know, doing, I can't remember the name of it, but I think it was like LGBTQ and trans affirming marketing. You know, yeah. I've done like different types of trainings with on my team talking about like, hey, if we're going to be writing emails, like don't assume it's a husband and wife. Don't assume it's, you know, whatever. So I've tried to do those little things, but I feel nervous about going further, I guess.
Oh God. I think you'd be so welcomed. So, so very welcomed. And I'm a gay person. I'm a Jewish person. We'll just put that right out there on your, And I can, and you know, and it's a tough climate right now.
Yeah.
But you know, and it doesn't take a lot for somebody to feel included or to feel like, okay, this is a safe space. Like I would rather know that about you and give you my business than somebody who's, you know, of the opposite opinion. And I hate to, I hate to say it, but it's true. It's like, why would I give my money to somebody who, you know,
I am not in the LGBTQ community and I don't want to give, you know, my money to someone who's not a safe space.
Right. But see, I think for those of us who do feel marginalized, it's like people like you are just heroes. I mean, seriously, no, but it's true. No, it is true because there are a lot of people who won't stand up and say anything. And it's like when you're the disenfranchised person and you always have to advocate for yourself, it's exhausting, right?
Yeah.
There are like allies out there and people who will stand up and say it for you because like people will be more likely to listen to you in some cases than they will be to listen to me. So your voice is like just so hugely, hugely important. I feel that. I feel that really, really strongly. I mean, and I'm sure it feels risky and I'm sure it feels vulnerable, but it's also, I mean, it's back to that conversation we were talking about before, like how much do you put on the line? Right?
Yeah.
No. And like, how do you make those decisions? They're really tough ones. I think this is a really important conversation though, because we're up against it.
Yeah. And I think we're in a social climate, time of age, whatever you want to call it, where people want to know more and more who they're buying from.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like, and like kind of going back and forth, I think one of the best ways, and I think it's something that you may have said, is really stepping into like what your values are as a company. You can put them on a social media post. You can put them on your website. You can put them, you know, talk about them on a podcast. So just kind of going back and forth here, you've already given me like three different ideas.
Oh, cool. And I love that you're just sort of seeding that in your business. I mean, I love that approach too of like, well, I'll just like bring these people in and I'll just talk about this in my workplace. Cause I think that's what normalizes it, right? It's like, it's not like, it doesn't have to be weird. It's just like,
right.
It's just part of the world. This is, we move in the world and you're moving in the world and you know, but
we all live in the world together.
Yes. And can we just like get along?
Yeah.
How are these people?
I know. I will never forget an old friend of mine. We were talking about these types of things. And she was like, I don't want my child to have to come out to me. She's like, I want it to be so that I am so affirming and accepting as they grow up that they are comfortable bringing home whoever they bring home. And I was just like, oh my gosh, what an incredible like perspective shift. You know, like I feel like my generation was very much like we had, or, and I mean, possibly even the generation after me, or, and you know, maybe the elder of those anyway. But like we had to come out. It was conversations. It was, you know, rallies and marches and school clubs and that kind of thing. And I'm the same way. Like I really took that, you know, to heart. So like my son, he doesn't hear girlfriend, or I try, you know, he doesn't hear girlfriend or wife, or, you know, it's partner. whatever it is.
I love that. I mean, you know, you're doing it. you're doing that thing that you admire. You realize that.
What did we say about people being nervous about stepping into what they believe? Or owning it, not stepping into it, but owning it.
Yeah. And it's a lot. It's like, and see, like to bring the conversation around too, it's like see how full circle it is. Cause it's like, it's in your work, it's in your parenting. It's in this whole sort of like, that's your life, right? Like, I mean, you might step away from your microphone now and like be talking to your son in 2 seconds or he's at school, whatever. You know what I mean though?
Yep.
So you don't like put on a different hat. Oh, wait, I was business gen. Now I'm like, you know, now as a parent, I believe this. It's like, how do you integrate that? Otherwise you'll lose your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I feel like, I think that's where my evolution has really like strained over the last probably couple of years, because when I first started my business, I still considered myself a Christian and, you know, was still kind of trying to decide if I wanted to go back to church, you know, if I wanted to integrate my son into that lifestyle. Did I want him to grow up having the type of faith that I did? And then really over the last few years, I'm like, nope, coming into that and shifting it. Cause I want those values to be represented in the business as much as it is in my life.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, that's a huge shift for you. Like, wow. It must feel really like, I imagine it would feel really uncomfortable sometimes.
It has, you know, and thank God for my therapist.
Yeah. Thank God for therapists in general.
Amen. Yes. Amen. But yeah, it's something that, you know, her and I have spent a lot of time with, because I spent over 20 years, you know, in that lifestyle, in that indoctrination. And ironically, it was my mom who was the one that got me into church, you know, that started the path, a different path 9 years ago now. And that started opening my eyes and like having more conversations. And then once you get into the online community, if you get into the right spaces, you know, you have these types of conversations where it's just normal to talk about hard topics, and you're approached with compassion and, you know, understanding and education, which I think is so important.
So what shifted for your mom? What happened with her?
This is going to sound so bad. My dad passed, and, you know, my dad was my hero. I mean, he's everything. All of his good was everything someone would want in a husband, in, you know, in a partner, in a dad. Like, I mean, he was my biggest cheerleader. He had the hardest work ethic. But when my mom got us into the church, he came a couple of years later, and then he was like zero to deacon real quick.
Zero to deacon.
Like,
he took to it.
Yeah. You know, so like, I mean, he drove the church bus and he served on committees, and, you know, he really honed in all of these lessons. And I grew up in a very strict household, and very, you know, also fun fact, my parents were 30 years apart. So not only did he go Southern Baptist, he was also born in the 30s. So he had like 50s housewife mentality on top of Southern Baptist. And that's a good word for it.
Yes.
And you know, so my mom was very, very young when they got together, and, you know, she was a young mom, did the stay-at-home mom thing, and then he provided for us. She didn't have any idea how to manage money or pay bills or run a life without him. He controlled everything. And when he passed, she, you know, no pun intended, but like had a come to Jesus moment and really had to start figuring stuff out. And through that, she ended up finding, oh my gosh, what's it called? It's Brené Brown's, one of her, like, she sent me the CD case of manifestation, like 101, basically. And through that, you know, over the last 10 years, my dad will be gone 10 years this year. You know, we've really, both of us have kind of gone on this like self-awareness journey of, you know, the, if our God is the same that we grew up with, then we don't believe that you can, you know, spread hate or, you know, have these ostracizing opinions against people who, at the end of the day, Jesus would have loved anyway. You know, so that's been like we just had a big like 5-hour conversation about this 2 weeks ago, and her and I both have kind of landed in the same place of, you know, those standpoints now, and it's because we were no longer tethered to someone who like had such tight reins on our ideology and that kind of thing. Now, I think eventually I would have grown out of it anyway, but I don't know that I would have been able to speak about it because he was so strongly opinionated.
Yeah.
And
Wow. I mean, what, do you have siblings?
I do. I have a little sister, a little full sister. We're 4 years apart. And then I have, my dad always called them his first litter. So I have three half siblings. One of them is actually older than my mom. And then I have a niece and nephew that are my age. So yeah.
These are so interesting, aren't they? It's like, yeah. Whoever I knew, you were like unpacking things.
So fun fact, my mom's mom was younger than my dad. So very interesting family dynamic.
Yes, it's so interesting. And age is a really interesting thing, like how that plays in people's, you know, people's perceptions about that.
Oh, absolutely.
Way more ingrained than you would realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, big surprise, right? Like what isn't, but.
Right.
Yeah. How interesting though. I mean, and how cool to like get to go on that journey with your mom. I mean, to be influenced by her.
Yeah.
You know, for like both of you to explore that together. And it's just really cool. And so much easier, I would imagine, than like coming to that on your own and then going, like you said, like, how do I find a voice? Or how do I talk about that? And where did you grow up? What part of the country? South somewhere?
Florida. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Grew up in a itty bitty redneck town in Florida. Yeah. I mean, I think it's almost more important. Maybe not now more than ever, but it's so important now to, even if you aren't outwardly expressing, if you are having personal conversations, like being upfront about being a safe space, because, you know, the marginalized communities, they do really, really need it. And, you know, I'm really grateful that through my experience as a business owner, that's really what opened my eyes to the communities needing it.
Yeah, it's great. And it's like, you know, it's so funny. Like we all have these like little online worlds, right? Like you create, mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know. I think it really matters. I mean, I think it really matters that you have, and this may sound corny, but I guess I feel like, you know, like you have to do good where you're planted.
Right. Yeah.
And I just feel like kindness just goes a really long way these days because there's a real lack of it. And so just like being, I don't know. Like, I feel like what you're talking about, just like an inclusive generosity. It's not like any exceptional thing or something you're standing for or doing differently, but it's who you are and it matters. And it makes a big difference, I think. So like, I don't know. I'm getting a little emotional. I feel just really honored that there are people that take these things seriously and, you know, are doing good in the world through like, you know, doing their business and running these, like these little bubbles, like we can just run them next to each other and like, I don't know, like do some good in the world.
Yeah.
I know that sounds corny, but.
I don't think it is. I don't think people understand the impact of like one small interaction. And I'm going to share this, one, because I don't think she would mind. And two, because I feel like this conversation is just a good space for it. I have only shared this with like two people ever. And it goes back to like, I don't want it to be about me, but I have horses and we have a farrier that comes out every 6 to 8 weeks to take care of their hooves. And she's been our farrier for 9 years almost now. She's fantastic. So we've gotten to know each other. We've had, you know, she knows all about the business, and we were talking and I was like, yeah, I had a podcast episode. One of our top podcast episodes was talking about the marketing for LGBTQ and trans people. And at the time, he turned around and he was like, you talked about it on your podcast? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, well, I have something to tell you then. And turns out she had just come out to her partner and figured it out through therapy that she's trans, and, you know, was kind of figuring out, you know, she has a huge client base here in Kentucky where trans rights are very much under fire.
Yep.
And, you know, she ended up telling me all of this. And I was legitimately excited that, you know, she came into this and had the knowledge and is able to continue building her relationship with her wife. And she was accepting, like, I literally celebrated this with her. And she got so emotional. She's like, you're the first client I've told. And she's like, because of this conversation, she's like, you've given me the courage to really step into this with my other clients. And just like, she wrote me a whole note, like I saved it and everything. And, you know, it was one of those moments that, like, you just don't know the impact you can have on somebody's life just by being kind for 5 minutes.
Yeah. You've probably changed that person's trajectory like forever. I mean, just like, okay. I mean, they probably agonizing, like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to do
this?
Yeah. We'll be the first person at like how, and then like to make it so easy for someone, they're like, I'm okay. It's like,
yeah,
leaning in there like, you're safe. Okay. Can we talk?
Yeah. And that's exactly how she is now. Like she, you know, she just got her eyebrows done, you know, so she was showing me the pictures and like when her and her wife went on date night. And I'm just, you know, I just, it's special to me that I can be that for her.
Yeah. I love that. And like, that's huge. It's a huge role to play. And it like, and look at how much agonizing there is. Like there's agonizing on their part,
right,
her part. And like, can we have this conversation? And like, where do we, you know, and it's like, yeah, just like open up a little space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you've done that. I mean, you've done that, like, you know, in your business. I was just thinking about you saying, like, you know, like being in your new consultant role and like, you know, like, what are you going to do? And like you've already seen like how you can radically, and you, I know you don't love that word, but like you make a move, it can radically impact somebody's life. Right. And it's not that.
It's not rocket science.
No, it isn't.
It's, you really, know,
yeah.
It's just kindness at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah. But we don't have enough of that. And I don't know why. No. And that's a whole other conversation. But like, it really goes a long way, you know?
Yeah.
It just does.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, I completely, completely agree. If somebody had made me choose a religion, like they're like, you have to. Otherwise, like, you know, you're going to pass out or something. I don't know. It would be like, if I had to choose, it would be kindness or love. One of the two. That's my religion. At the end of the day, I just want everyone to be kind.
Yeah. It would just make things so much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we do what we can, right? Like you just try.
Absolutely.
And do your bit and do it well and care about, you know, like, I mean, to bring this back to the clients, it's the same thing, right? It's just like, just treat them, you know, respectfully and try and figure out like, how can we have a relationship and should we have a relationship? And
yeah,
you know? Yeah, it's, yeah. I guess, like you said, it's not rocket science, but it does take some decision making and then some application of what you believe, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, here we are.
Well, this was such a, I don't know that we talked about what we were supposed to talk about, but this was like such a great conversation.
I know. I'm so longing to have real conversations, you know, about the stuff that matters. I just am. And it's hard to find. And it's hard to find in business sometimes. So thank you. Like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Big thank you.
Well, I mean, honestly, the reason I was able to, and it's because you felt like a safe space, you know, so I appreciate that because that's something that I'm, even though I'm not in those communities, having that opinion coming from the background I do, I don't feel like I have a lot of safe spaces. So knowing I can have these conversations with you, and then, you know, I have a few other really good business friends. It's important for all of us to have those safe spaces to feel like we can actually take the mask off and be authentically ourselves.
So hard. I find it really hard. I just do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you just, and it's partly what we're talking about. I mean, you compartmentalize, you know, you go through right. life sort of with your different faces for this and that. And
mm-hmm.
It gets old. It gets tiring.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does.
Yeah. But being real is risky, right? It's like we were talking about. It's like, you know, is it really? But it is kind of. I don't know. Feels like it is.
I think it feels like it is. I think if more people started stepping into what they honestly believe instead of the mask that they feel like people want, I think we'd find that there are a lot more safe spaces than we think.
Yeah, I think that's
because the ones that aren't safe, they're going to be the ostracized ones eventually.
Oh, and that's a whole other interesting conversation. Yeah, about like who gets to have a voice, right?
Yeah.
And like the predominant voices are and where we kind of hide because of that. And yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So like, I don't know, like we need to be more courageous or more, I don't know. I think it's courage. I don't know.
I think it is courage. I think it is courage. I mean, you've inspired me to be courageous. I'm going to update our website and do a social media post on our brand values. My team knows, you know, they know the values. We speak to them on client calls, but I want to step into it. I think it's important.
I do too. I think it's super important. And like, if I can support you in any way in doing that, I'm all about it. Seriously. Because it's, you know, it's a thing. It's a bold step, but I think it's a really important one. So like, kudos to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for, you know, being a safe space to have this conversation. And I've had lots of epiphanies on it.
Likewise. It's really good. It's so funny. I was so excited to talk to you because I knew we had business things in common. I didn't know we had shared values, you know, we're having same things about, you know, moving in the world. So
yeah.
It's really nice to have gotten to that. Thank you.
Yeah, I love these conversations. I think they're, like you said, they're so important and they're not talked about enough. So
no, but this is a start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Amy, where can our audience find you, hang out with you, get your stuff, help, you know, have you help them go from order taker to expert?
Yeah, all the things. So my website is my name. It's amyposner.com. I've got a really interesting freebie called Breakthrough Clients. And it's not so much set up as a workbook, but it's designed to like take you through thinking about like, who are my audience and why? Like, who do I best serve and how do I serve them? And it's a really good jumping off point for thinking about some of the stuff we've been talking about. And I hang out on LinkedIn quite a lot. That's my new space. So I'm there to, and actually just to like to help and answer questions and do stuff. So that's where people can, you know, can get me the easiest, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, y'all, thank you so much for listening on this episode, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Amy. Well, that is all we have for this week. I am so grateful that you tuned in to this episode. If you enjoyed this episode or previous episodes, I would love if you took a moment to subscribe or leave a review for our channel. That would mean the world to me. And you can always hang out with us over at the gram at successbeyond.co. Thanks, and we'll see you there.